Yirmiyahu Perichavav Pasuk Chaf Le'ila Nishmas Betzal Tzvi Ben Moshe Yitzchak, wrapping up a momentous parak where we begin to see the great hostility of the people towards Yirmiyah for daring to commit the crime of telling them the truth. And they wanted to put him to death right now, in the early times of Yehoyakim, long before Yirmiyahu, who he himself would live to see the Korban. But the people are now thinking about earlier examples of people who prophesied, and were not put to death, and instead were listened to. V'gam ish hayom esnave b'shem Hashem, Uriyahu ven Shemayahu mikir yas hayarim. There was another incident. A man by the name of Uriah, the son of Shemaiah from Kiryas HaYa'arim. And he prophesied upon this city and this land exactly the same way that Yirmiyah prophesied. Now in the meantime, he did prophesy it, and he got in trouble for that. So Micha said what he said, and Chizkiyahu said, let's do a national tshuva. Uriah, in more recent times, said what he said, Vayishma melech Yehoyakim v'chol giborav v'chol hasarim es devarav, and the king Yehoyakim and all of his mighty men and all of his officers heard what he had to say. Vayivakesh hamelech hamiso. And the king sought to murder him. So Chizkiyah forbore from threatening violence against somebody who told him something negative. Yehoyakim tried to kill him right off the bat. Vayishma Uriyahu, Vayira, and Uriyahu immediately was frightened greatly. Vayivrach Vayavo Mitzrayim. And he ran for it. And he fled to Egypt. And what happened to Uriah in Egypt? Vayishlach HaMelech Yehoyakim Anashim Mitzrayim. Yehoyakim the king was not appeased by his flight. And so instead, he sent the SEAL Team 6 after him. He sent the CIA. He sent royal assassins after him to Egypt. As El-Nasan ben Achbor. El-Nasan, the son of Achbor. Not a very high-ranking, positive-sounding name. The son of the mouse. The son of the rodent. The king's thug was El-Nasan, the son of Achbor, Vanoshim Ito El-Mitzrayim, and he sent men with him, and they went to Egypt. Chav Gimel Vayotziu es Uriyahu mi-Mitzrayim, and they took Uriyahu out of Egypt. They deported him. They brought him back. They extradited him. They're trying to do that right now. An illegal immigrant killed a college girl in Georgia. A clean, scrubbed, white college girl going for a jog. Not the best move for somebody who is not in the country legally, but he came illegally, came to New York, got a bunch of help and money, and he's apparently a very violent man, and out from New York he went to Georgia, where he was finding, I don't know, a brother or a brother-in-law or something, and he had a relationship, the relationship broke up. It's not a very pretty story. And when they discovered him, the folks down south, I think he's in Alabama now, there or Arkansas, they're refusing to send him back to New York because they say New York isn't tough enough on crime. And they ain't going to execute him the way we want to, so we ain't sending him back. Pretty interesting and scary stuff about how things can work. I may be conflating two different stories. But that's what they did to Uriyahu. His great crime was telling the truth of what God told him to say. So they took him out of Egypt, Vayivyuhu el HaMelech Yehoyakim, and they dragged him in chains, clanking in his handcuffs, before King Yehoyakim, Vayakehu Becharev, and Yehoyakim chopped his head off. Yehoyakim put him to death with a sword. Vayashleches Nivloso el Kivrei ben Eha'am. And they tossed his body on the graves of the common people. The fate of a true Navi Hashem. So, the Malbim points out the fact that they didn't assassinate him there in Egypt, and they brought him back, and there was plenty of time to think about what to do, and he still decided to put him to death. And he put him to death by the sword, which is illegal because according to the Sanhedrin Jewish law, the penalty for being a Navi Sheker is strangulation, is chenek. But he got put to death by the sword, so he was not put to death through a righteous legal process of any kind. And they didn't even put him in the burial place of people executed. They threw him into the common paupers' graves showing again that it was done illegally, illicitly, Yoyakim treated him with contempt. Wouldn't even put him where the Nevi'im were. So the graves of the common people is a very low-class way to just throw his body into a pit on a pile. And so, according to the Malbim, who has just great takes on this entire parak and this entire incident. Sorry, this is the Abarbanel. Abarbanel says that this story was told over by the same man who told the story of Micha. So he says, I'm going to give you two examples of prophets. True prophets. Micha, who was treated with respect and the people did tshuva during Chizkiyahu's time, and disaster is averted by Chal, Penei Hashem. And Uriah, who was treated with great contempt and terrible treatment by Jehoiakim. And we see how far the people have fallen since the time of Chizkiyah. And Chizkiyah dies in peace and is buried with pomp and ceremony in the Kivrei Aviv Beis David. And Jehoiakim dies in a wretched state and never gets a burial. So is that what you want? You want to emulate what was done more recently with terrible disrespect? Chavdal and Achyad Achikam ben Shafan Haisa es Yirmiyahu. But there was an ally of Yirmiyahu, a defender of Yirmiyahu, the hand of Achikam, son of Shafan, who was mentioned in Melachim Beis Chaf Beis. He was sent by Yoshiyahu with Chilkiyah Kohen Gadol to talk to Huldah the Nevi'ah to get mercy for Klal Yisrael. 12 years earlier, at this stage, he was considered a very foremost man. Or maybe 12 years earlier was when he was sent by Yoshiyahu with Chilkiyahu, and now 12 years later, he's still a very respected man. So, Ach Yad Achikam ben Shafan Hoysa as Yirmiyahu, it's good to have friends in high places. Lilti Teso So Biyad Ha'am Lahmiso. So that he would not be delivered over to the hands of the people and be put to death. And the Mefarshim just kind of end there. But it seems to me that although Rabbi Breuer says these words wipe out the last trace of animosity in the crowd, the priests and prophets concede momentary defeat but continue to plot quietly against the Navi. The fact that it says that still, despite the logic and the argument that was just made, there had to be intervention by a high-ranking council member to save Yirmiyah from the hand of the people to put him to death tells me, anyway, just push the pshat in the words, that there was a sizable faction of people who still wanted to kill him. We are pretty rotten at the core as we get closer and closer to Churban. And even this story, which is further away from Churban, it's kind of terrifying how many idiotic mistakes we make in the names of what we consider, you know, Shalom Bayis and Klal Yisrael. Shut him up and it'll all go away. It's not the way it's going to go. And we are now halfway through Sefer Yirmiyahu, because Sefer Yirmiyahu goes through Perek Nun Beis. And we have finished the first 26 parakim. So mazel tov to us for getting halfway there. We're living on a prayer. And we're going to make our way. And we're going to continue in the second half, where things are going to unfortunately go from bad to worse as we start to fall into the historic era of the actual Churban itself, which comes in the second half of Sefer Yirmiyahu and continues in Eicha and is talked about in many of the Sfarim that we have yet still to learn.